The first week, it was the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And Pastor Jack shared that the mustard seed grows and it eventually becomes a tree and it reaches out to the world and provides for the world. So the kingdom of God reaches out, grows and reaches out to the entire world. And then the week after that, Pastor Jack also shared about the kingdom of God being like a master going on a journey. And he talked about how God gives us opportunities. God gives us many different opportunities for different people. And we get to embrace those opportunities and do things with our lives with those opportunities. And then last week, Chris, our worship intern here, gave us a message about the kingdom of God being like a hidden treasure and how the kingdom of God is valuable. And he asked the question of what is valuable to you? What do you consider valuable in your life? Is the kingdom of God valuable to you? And today I wanted to talk about the kingdom of God being like a king who settles accounts. So it's a topic of forgiveness, how the kingdom of God talks about forgiveness and embraces the idea of forgiveness. So I'm going to go straight into the passage. It's going to be from Matthew 18. It'll be in your bulletin. You can follow along in your Bibles, and I'll have it up here as well. So the kingdom of God is like a king settling accounts. It starts here in Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. So in Judaism, Jews were taught, at least they were encouraged, to forgive an intentional sin up to three times. Three times. So having to forgive more than three times would show that the offender actually isn't that sorry for his sin. So they would teach, the rabbis would teach, forgive someone three times, and if they keep doing the same thing to you over and over again, then you can just forgive them up to three times. Otherwise, they're not really that sorry. So Peter, coming up to Jesus, might be thinking that he's being very generous by saying, Jesus, should I forgive someone seven times? Thinking maybe that's a lot more than three times. Maybe I'll ask Jesus if seven times is good enough. And if you take Jesus literally, he says that we're supposed to forgive people how many times? It says 77 times. And if you know Jesus, he's not really into making rules to follow. That's not his style. He was actually very opposed to keeping rules for the sake of just keeping rules. That wasn't his style at all. So if you were a Jew listening to Jesus say this expression, you would instantly think of Genesis 4. For us, we don't even think about 77 coming from Genesis 4. But for them listening, every one of them would have known the Torah and Genesis specifically. So it says here, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech is 77-fold. Okay, this is the reference that Jesus is trying to make. He's not trying to tell you guys, hey, forgive 77 times, and on the 78th time, you don't have to forgive anymore. That's not his way of thinking. Jesus is actually referring to this story of Cain and Lamech. And it says here that if you know the story, Cain promised, or God promised Cain that he would protect Cain. Cain was scared that he was going to be killed. He was cursed by God to be kind of like a homeless wanderer. And Cain was really scared and said, God, I can't handle this. I need you to tell me that I'm going to be okay. And God said, I'm going to protect you. If anyone decides that they're going to hurt you, I'm going to get revenge on them seven times. Now Lamech, who's one of Cain's descendants, goes on later in that chapter and he says, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then mine is 77-fold. And Lamech multiplies this number, which shows the certainty of God's response to protect not only Cain, but also Lamech. This is God's promise to Cain. And Lamech was saying, if Cain gets this promise, if God is so certain to get revenge for Cain, then he's going to be even more certain to get revenge for me 77 times. He's multiplying it. In the same way, Jesus is telling Peter, don't just forgive seven times, but just as God promised to certainly protect Lamech, that we should also certainly forgive other people. As as guaranteed as God said he's going to protect Cain and Lamech, it should be guaranteed that we should be forgiving other people. That's what Jesus was saying. He wasn't trying to make a 77 times rule. He was trying to tell people, you need to forgive as certain as God is protecting Cain, you should be certain to forgive other people. That's his point. So now Jesus tells a parable and explains his point. It says in going on, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, if you were here for Pastor Jack's sermon about talents, he mentioned that a talent is a unit of weight that's used to measure money. And one talent, generally understood, was 20 years' wages. And in the parable that Pastor Jack did, the servant was given 10 talents, and that was a lot of money. It was 20 years times 10, which is 200 years' worth of money, you working for 200 years. And it was a lot of money. But in this story, the servant owed a whole lot more money. It says 10,000 talents. So if you multiply 20 years by 10,000, you get 200,000 years. Okay? This man, the servant, would have to work 200,000 years to pay off this debt. This is equivalent to tens of billions of dollars in our understanding today. Someone owing tens of billions of dollars, like $20 billion or something. This was an extremely stupid number, and Jesus meant it to be that way as he's telling this story. He wanted people to understand that this number was insane, it was ridiculous, and no one, absolutely no one, would be able to pay back 200,000 years of work. That's Jesus' point. And the people listening would be like, this is a crazy number. This doesn't even make sense. No one owes $20 billion ever. You don't accumulate that much debt ever. So that's his point. Jesus is saying this guy would never, ever, in multiple lifetimes, ever pay back this debt. So, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity, the master of that servant released him and forgave him his debt. What? What just happened? No one just forgives 200,000 years of work. No one in their right mind, if someone owed me $20 billion, I don't just say, it's okay. You don't have to pay me back. It doesn't make sense. Okay? How would you feel if someone owed you if you owed $20 billion and someone just told you, hey, don't worry about it. Forget about it. You don't have to pay that. Maybe in our modern day, this might be a better example. What if someone told you that the mortgage on your house, the bank, let's say the bank says, hey, you don't have to pay your mortgage anymore. We'll cover it for you. It's canceled. You don't owe anything anymore. The house is yours. You would feel completely relieved. You would be like, what just happened? I just got a free house. Or maybe it's your student loan, your college loan. So your thousands and thousands of dollars of that you're still paying off, and the bank says, you know what? Don't worry about that college loan. You're free. Those thousands and tens of thousands of dollars that you owe, don't worry about it anymore. You would feel complete relief. I'd feel so excited. I would like throw a party or something, and it would feel like this huge burden gets lifted off of you. If any of you understand debt or paying off mortgages or paying off loans, you'll understand that once the last payment's done, it's like you can breathe a sigh of relief. This guy probably breathed a sigh of relief for the entire day. It's 200,000 years of work, billions and billions of dollars. Story goes on. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him and saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. So this servant, who just got forgiven of billions of dollars, now has this friend who owes him some money. A worker back then would typically be paid one denarius per working day. One denarius per working day. So how much did this fellow servant owe him? Owed him probably like 4 months of work. Something around there. 4 months of work. He had just, this servant had just been forgiven of 200,000 years of work. And now this other person who owes him 4 months of work, he's going to try to pick on. He's going to try to get his 4 months of money back from this guy, when he was just forgiven of 200,000 years of work. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So the master puts this servant in jail because he wouldn't forgive his fellow servant's four-month debt when he was just forgiven of a massive 200,000-year debt. Now, the interesting verse is actually this verse right here. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." What will God do to us if we don't forgive our brothers? We'll be, quote-unquote, delivered to the jailers. So another verse that kind of coincides with this is Matthew 6. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And many people have wondered what this means. Wondered what it means that God will not forgive us unless we forgive others. Now, the first thing that pops into my mind, and probably a lot of you guys, is that we're going to lose our salvation unless we keep forgiving other people on this earth. That's the first thing that popped into my mind. That I would lose my salvation, that our salvation is like linked to forgiving others. That God won't welcome us into the kingdom of heaven unless we forgive. Now, there's a problem with that understanding. The reason is this. I don't think that's how Jesus is understanding this, because it goes against all the other verses that tell us that we're not saved by what we do or don't do, that our salvation is only by faith and by faith alone. It's not by forgiving other people. Our salvation is not based on forgiving other people. So when I think about those verses, I have to throw that idea out, that if I don't forgive other people here on this earth, that I'm going to lose my salvation, that I'm not going to get into heaven. So I have to throw that idea out. What I believe Jesus is trying to say is that our unforgiveness, our lack of forgiveness, is a sin. It's a sin. And any sin that we commit will cause us to lose fellowship with God, lose our connection with God. It doesn't mean that we lose our salvation. We lose our connection with God. There will be a gap in our relationship with God until we decide that we're going to resolve that relationship by forgiving others. It doesn't mean that we lose our salvation, and this sin of unforgiveness just temporarily breaks our relationship with God. Another way that the Bible calls it or describes it is grieving the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is living inside of each one of us as Christians. And when we sin, especially when it comes to unforgiveness, not forgiving someone, when we sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It saddens the Holy Spirit. And our connection with him is disconnected. We don't have a right relationship with him right then and there. Different from our salvation. God still considers us his children. But even with your own family members, when you have trouble between one another, when you sin against one another, there's a break in the connection. You kind of don't want to talk with each other. I think this is what Jesus is referring to, that if you're not going to be forgiving other people, that God won't forgive you your sins, as in there's going to be a disconnect in the relationship. So why is it so hard for us to forgive? Why is forgiveness so hard? Now, I believe one of the reasons that people have a hard time forgiving, including myself, is because they have a misconception of what forgiveness really is. And I want to address some of those misconceptions. Common misconceptions of forgiveness. A misconception is pretty much a lie that you tell yourself. It's a wrong way of thinking. So one of the first misconceptions of forgiveness. Forgiveness means that what they did to me was okay. Forgiveness means that what they did to me was okay. So by definition, forgiveness is needed when someone is offended or hurt by another person. And the temptation is to think that if I forgive this person, then I'm approving of them. I'm like giving them a pat on the back for what they did to me. I'm like saying, hey, it's okay. I approve of what you did to me, even though it hurt and even though it was painful. And that's completely wrong. It was not okay. It was wrong. What they did to you was evil. And it was completely not okay. You did get hurt, and it was wrong. Forgiveness isn't excusing sin. It's not saying that it's okay for them to do wrong. It's acknowledging it, acknowledging what happened to you, and choosing to give it to Jesus anyways. This is probably the most misunderstood concept of forgiveness, that what they did was okay, what they did to me was okay. Second one, forgiveness means that they won't have to suffer any consequences for what they did to me. Forgiveness means that they won't have to suffer any consequences for what they did to me. And this is the whole idea of that's not fair. The whole that's not fair that goes through your mind, this is what that is. So according to Romans 12, it's God who will repay people for what they've done and not you. It's God who will repay people for what they've done, and it's not your responsibility to do that. We're called to forgive, and we're called to trust God that he's just in everything that he does. We're not the ones who take revenge. We're not the ones who try to make it fair. We're not the ones who will make the consequences happen for them. It's God. God can use people, circumstances, and even the legal system, if needed, to bring justice to your situation. That's not your responsibility. So if forgiveness means that they won't have to suffer any consequences for what they did, they will. Not necessarily in the way that you understand it, but God's going to take care of it. God's going to be the one who's just. He's going to make the wrong things right. Leave it up to him. That's not your responsibility. Third one. Forgiveness means that I need to keep tolerating their offensive behavior. Forgiveness means that I need to keep tolerating their offensive behavior. This is absolutely not true either. A few verses right before this parable, Jesus is telling his disciples that that we should be having conversations with those who sin against us. That we should be having people who hurt us and who offend us. It says a few verses right before the parable, it says that we need to be having one-on-one conversations with them. That we should tell them what they did, and if that doesn't work, then bring along some friends from maybe the church who understand the situation, and have them talk with you guys. And if that doesn't work, then you break off relationship with that person, your friendship with that person. You don't have to be a punching bag. You don't have to suck it up for other people's hurtful behavior towards you. You don't have to keep being abused over and over again. You don't have to be in that situation all the time. Now, these are just a few common misconceptions or lies that we tell ourselves. There's going to be more. There's a lot more, I think. And these only address some of the bigger ones. But I'm thinking that if you went through your life, you would realize that there's probably other misconceptions of forgiveness that you have also. And I want to just go into what the Bible tells us is what forgiveness is. So what does forgiveness really look like? Ephesians 4 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So forgiveness, I highlighted it here. Forgiveness is putting away from you all anger, all bitterness. It means releasing all of that to who? To Jesus. Jesus is the one who can heal us. Jesus is the one who paid for our sins. And he's going to be the one who we can give our hurts and our pains. And he's going to be able to take our burdens from us. That putting away, that releasing, is what true forgiveness really means. That's how biblical forgiveness looks like. It means releasing it to Jesus. Okay? Why? Because God has shown us so much grace by forgiving us the impossible debt that we owed, that 200,000 years of work that we owed, he forgave us. And that's why we need to be forgiving other people. God forgave us for all of our sins that we couldn't pay back. And if we don't forgive other people their comparatively small offense, then we don't truly understand God's great mercy for us. If we don't forgive, then we don't understand God's mercy for us. That servant, that wicked servant, didn't understand how much he was forgiven. He was forgiven so much. You know why I know that he didn't understand how much he was forgiven? Is because he decided that he was going to pick on his fellow servant for his 4 months' wages. It means that he wasn't grateful. He didn't appreciate anything that the master did for him. Same with us. If we choose that we're not going to forgive, then we just we pretty much just punch God in the face saying, I really don't care that you forgave me that much because I'm not going to. And by not forgiving our friends here on earth, that's what we're saying to God. I don't really appreciate your forgiveness that much. We have to understand how much we've been forgiven, and we will gladly forgive our brothers and sisters. When you truly forgive someone, there's a real opportunity to restore your friendship with the other person. There shouldn't be any awkwardness between the two of you anymore. I was listening to R.T. Kendall, a pastor, who offers a few proofs of someone who has really actually forgiven someone, who has totally forgiven someone. He takes these points from the life of Joseph. And the first point, by the way, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he was able to forgive them. So he takes these from the life of Joseph, and there's just a few of them. First one, proofs of total forgiveness. You don't tell others what they did to you. You don't tell others what they did to you. Now, obviously, there's some exceptions to this, but my point is that you don't gossip about that person. You don't slander them. You don't try to ruin their reputation. Oh, this person, you know what they did? This is what they did to me. You don't talk about it. If you really forgave that person, you're not going to talk about that situation. It's already in the past. You've already put it onto the shoulders of Jesus. You're not going to bring it up ever again. You're going to keep them from looking bad. You're going to keep that person from looking bad, even though you have like the proof that they're actually an evil person. You're going to keep them from looking bad. You're not going to talk about it. That's when you know that you've really forgiven. Second one, you don't make them feel guilty. Jesus forgave us so that we would be free from feeling guilty. And once you forgive, you go the extra mile to help the person to live free from guilt. Just in the same way that Jesus went the extra mile to help us to live free from guilt and shame. You don't bring it up ever again, and you don't try to make them feel guilty for what they caused, for the hurt that they caused you. This is the hardest one. You keep blessing them, and you keep praying for them. You pray that God would bless them. This is what Jesus was saying, that when you pray for your enemies, or you bless your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That person who hurt you, you're going to pray favor. You're going to pray blessing on them. You're going to ask God to bless them. You're going to ask God to be an awesome part of their life. That's how you know that you've forgiven that person. And there's nothing There's no awkwardness between you two anymore. There's no hurt feelings anymore, no pain between you two anymore. That's how you know. When you can pray prayers of God bless them, encourage them today, help them today. That's how you know that you've really forgiven them. And these are really general approaches to forgiveness. There's probably more. And there's probably many situations and exceptions that I could think of where forgiveness may be trickier than just these three little points on the screen. It's harder than it looks. It's harder than putting a bullet point on a screen. And there's so many but what ifs. There's so many situations in your life and in my life where these may not work exactly just like that. It may take more time. You may not even legally be able to do these things. But this is what the Bible says about forgiveness. And this is how you can know that you've truly forgiven someone. So what is the kingdom of God like? As I'm talking about forgiveness, what is the kingdom of God like? That's the point of this series. This is a quote from Henry Nouwen. He says, "Forgiveness is the name of love practiced among people who love poorly. The hard truth is that all people love poorly. We need to forgive and be forgiven every day, every hour increasingly. That is the great work of love among the fellowship of the weak, that is the human family." The kingdom of God is a community where people forgive one another. The kingdom of God is a community of people who are really good at hurting one another and really bad at forgiving one another, but they still come together to forgive one another. The kingdom of God is a community that forgives one another, and they give Jesus their hurts, they give Jesus their pains, and there's no more awkwardness, there's no more pain between one another, there's no more "I hope that person doesn't come into the room" mentality. There's no more of that. It's a community who understands one another, who has forgiven one another, and who encourage one another to be the sons and daughters of God. That's what the kingdom of God is like. We forgive one another. Now, as I've been talking about forgiveness, there might be some of you who have been thinking of a person who... There might be a face in your mind. There might be a person on your mind, one person who might have hurt you or offended you before. And I guess if I can encourage you guys, if that person knows that they've hurt you, then find a way that you can speak to them one-on-one. If that person knows that they've offended you, then try to find a way that you can speak to them one-on-one. Sit down, have lunch with them, tell them that you've forgiven them for the hurt that you've caused, that they've caused, and don't hold any negative feelings toward them. Bless them, pray for them, treat them out for that lunch. Show them that you've forgiven them. Now, if there's someone that hurt you and maybe they don't even know that they hurt you, I would actually think this was more often than the previous example. I think more than often than not, people have hurt you, and they're still going about their life not knowing that they hurt you, more often than not. I think so. I don't know. Maybe it's different for your life. But if they don't know that they've hurt you, then you can go to them privately and work it out with them. Explain what happened, but that you forgive them. But a word of warning, check your heart before you do that. Why are you bringing this up is the question you should be asking. Is it to make them feel guilty? Is it to, like, make sure that they don't feel good about themselves? Why are you bringing it up? Okay? So check your heart. And if meeting with them privately isn't physically possible, then do a phone call or a letter. But I believe the best way for you to forgive is actually not to approach them at all. I think that you could forgive someone without even talking with them at all. This person hurt you. This person really offended you. This person caused you pain. you can forgive without ever talking to them. You can forgive them. You can just say, God, I forgive them. I release all the bitterness. I release all the anger towards them. And you could actually just go up to them and just be their friend just like you always were. And that would be forgiving them. You don't necessarily have to sit down and say, hey, this is what you did to me. I forgive you. And you don't always have to have that conversation. You can forgive just straight from your heart. And then you can have a right relationship, a right friendship with that person, just as if they didn't even know that they hurt you. I think that's actually even better, if you don't have to go through that conversation to restore a right relationship with your friend. The ultimate goal of forgiveness is to restore friendships, restore relationships again. However you can get to that point is between you and that person who hurt you. The goal is to restore relationships. The goal is to restore friendships. However that looks, if it has to be a sit-down one-on-one, or if that's just on your personal side, just letting it go, that's the main point, restoring our relationships. Yes, you did get hurt. No, it was not okay. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, God is going to take care of it. Yes, you should forgive them. No, you shouldn't tell the whole world. No, you shouldn't make them feel guilty. And yes, you should be praying blessings over them. And yes, your connection with God will be restored when you decide you're going to forgive. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you're a God of forgiveness. God, I thank you that you're a God of grace. God, we look at our own lives and how much we've done against you, and there's no comparing. There's no comparing the amount of forgiveness that you've shown to us. There's no one that has hurt us so much, and there's no hurt, no pain that's greater than what you've already endured on the cross, Jesus. So we remember your grace, we remember your forgiveness for us, and we appreciate it, we thank you for it, and we're going to show you our thanks by forgiving those around us. We're going to let it go, we're going to release them, we're going to release our hurts, we're going to release our pains, any bitterness that we have. We give it to you, Jesus. We know that you can heal us, and we know that you can restore a right relationship between our brothers and sisters with us. We thank you, God, for your word, where we don't have to live in guilt anymore, and we don't have to live in awkward relationship with you. And in the same way, we don't have to live in awkward relationship with our brothers and sisters here on this earth. We thank you, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.